Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. John Cook. Today you have joined us in our continuing study on the subject of theology. These lessons are geared to train men for the ministry. There is nothing original with me in these lessons, as there is nothing new under the sun according to the Word of God. We'll get right into our lesson on backsliding right after this. Now join in progress, part 4 of 5 in our study. We can prevent backsliding in our Christian life by listening to and obeying the Word of God. Obedience requires that we not love this world or the things in it. This world must not take us captive, nor can we allow it to lead us around by our nose like a slave. To avoid backsliding, we cannot be in love with money. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The love of money leads us away from trusting God. It leads us to all sorts of sorrow. After all, the scripture states plainly that we are to live by faith. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Book of Luke, we're told we cannot serve God and money, God and mammon. That's money. We can therefore avoid backsliding in our Christian life by serving God and Him alone. The scriptures go on to tell us in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and 7, that we have to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So not only dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Then look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where we're told, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin can only be accomplished if we realize that we have been crucified with Christ, that our life is now lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us, according to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. Our life is hid with Christ in God. So we have no life outside of Jesus Christ. The sooner we recognize that fact, the sooner we will start down the road that will never lead us to backsliding. When we yield our members as instruments of righteousness, we will not backslide, because yielding is the key. Notice in Romans 6:13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." That's the negative side of yielding. "But yield yourselves unto God." That's the positive side of yielding. "As those that are alive from the dead, and your members." In the words of today, this is the proactive side of yielding. "As instruments of righteousness unto God." We cannot yield the members of our body to sin and unto God at the same time. It's simply impossible. Still, when we yield ourselves to God, we are to obey Him. Romans 6, verses 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?" Just because we say we yield ourselves to God, but we obey the devil, our actions must match what we say. "Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." That was our past condition before we got saved. That was our past condition before we got saved. "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." This is true yielding to God. The Word of God plainly states God has delivered us from being slaves to our flesh. We were the servants of sin, but we are now the servants of righteousness. Look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 6, and listen. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." We are not set free to sin. We are set free from sin. That's an important distinction. Backsliding is caused by our satisfying the lust of our flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are in the Spirit. That's an accomplished fact. But are we walking in the Spirit? That's the question. Well, if we are walking in the Spirit, it shows up in the fact that we are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's the simple answer. Notice that our Christian life is a walk. That means we must be moving. We're either going to move forward or backward, but there's no standing still. We move forward one step at a time, and that in the power of God's Holy Spirit. It is difficult for us to war against the flesh. In fact, it's downright impossible if we try to do it in the flesh, that is. The only way we can have victory over the flesh is through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory is ours, given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, it's not through the flesh. So we don't war against the flesh with our flesh. That would be using fleshly weapons. Such a victory is impossible, for the flesh is not going to surrender. What we have to recognize is what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not weapons you can look at and hold in your hand, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Imaginations are a major battle in our flesh. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This is the things that this world tries to teach us. The world's knowledge exalts itself against God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Get that? Bringing into captivity every thought. What a victory that would be to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's the end that God wants in our lives, is our obedience being fulfilled. Plainly, we can't fight the flesh with the flesh. God has given us the weapons that we need to win this war. These weapons enable us to cast down our vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These weapons require our obedience to our commander-in-chief, our Lord Jesus Christ. To avoid backsliding in our Christian life, we have to obey Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Listen to what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The strength called for is found only in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's only His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Our armor comes from God, not this world. And every piece is absolutely necessary that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is what the devil throws at us. He tries to trick us. He's testing to find our weak spots. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How we need to recognize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's a fact. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the real enemy that we face in our Christian life. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. God repeats Himself, tells us to do the same thing over again. Take the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. To win is to withstand, stand against. Having done all, to stand. No, the goal is to stand. The victory is up to the Lord. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's his righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is trusting God for the victory. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We will face the fiery darts, but by faith we can quench those fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation. That's the Savior. He is our salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. We have to learn to use the Word of God to say with the Savior, it is written, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here it is. First, we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is certainly not speaking about our physical strength, but rather is the strength that comes from the realization that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. I do not move in my strength if I want to avoid the path of backsliding, but rather I move in the strength of my Savior. His strength is greater than my strength. In fact, His strength is made perfect in weakness, according to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, where the Word of God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God does for me what I can't do for myself. He gives me victory in my spiritual life. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If it takes infirmities for me to learn the Lord's strength, then I'll be glad to go through it.